Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, broker here at Daniels Trading. I write Turner's Take newsletter and podcast. We have that once a week. It's free for everyone. For my clients here at Daniels Trading, I am a broker. I have Turner's Take Ag Marketing. That's for farmers and hedgers. And Turner's Take Market Alert. That has our spec ideas. As a broker here, I work with self-directed traders, broker-assisted, hybrids, very popular. Spec, hedge, everything in between. If you have any questions about that, feel free to contact me. All my contact information is in the show notes of this podcast, and also they're on the website where you can go to turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. I'll bring you to my broker pages at Daniels Trading. So, finally, if you know anyone who likes this, would like this podcast newsletter, please forward it over to them. And if you're ever on iTunes and you want to rate the show, that would be fantastic too. So, let's get into it. All right, so we're going to start off like we do every time with the macro markets. What's going on? I would say the big headline right now is U.S.-China. And it looks like the headlines have been the trade war is to drag on. Sounds like the Chinese have added a member to their negotiating group. Zhang Shan, who is the Chinese commercial minister, and he's been described as a hardliner. So it looks like China threw someone into the mix to negotiate with a hard line with the United States. So it sounds like the trade deal is going backwards and not forwards. So I would think... I gotta say, I just don't see a trade deal getting done between now and the next election, and then we'll just have to see who's president. If it's still Trump, who knows, maybe this goes on for another 4 years. If it's someone else, maybe things change a little bit. But anyways, there's the only thing I think we can really just think it's the way you gotta approach this trade war between the United States and China right now is that nothing's getting resolved between now and the next presidential election. I think that's... that's the way I'm gonna. That's the way I'm gonna deal with it. And you know, if I'm wrong, you know, let's let the market and or let's let the politicians prove us wrong here. But I think that's what we're gonna head into. So that was a little disappointing. But what else do we have going on here? The FOMC. There is probably gonna be a rate cut. So the U.S.-China news and sentiment was kind of a drag on stocks in the macro markets. The FOMC rate cuts are probably gonna be good, so they'll help balance it out to the bullish side. I was looking at some of the earnings that came out this week so far. They've been mixed. The ones today from the banking sector, the banking sector was showing profits, but they were making less on deposits, which usually means real interest rates are going up against the banks. The retail retail sales were strong, so that's good, but real estate has been slower. So there's a lot of mixed signals, which really just goes to show we're growing, just not at, you know, it's not gangbusters, it's not robust, but it's not a recession either. And I think the every time we take, you know, we check in with the macro economy each week, and that's really what it's been saying for a while now. So I kind of, you know, there's ups and downs. Stock market doesn't go up in a straight line, but it seems like it's chugging forward here. And the S&P futures are over 3,000. So the macro sense, I think we're okay. I did see some of the commodities came down pretty good today. I think that had a lot to do with the U.S.-China talks and the bad news coming out. Because I think crude was down by $2 at one point. But I would think that would rebound. So let's move on over to the grain markets. We've got a pretty critical next, between now and August 12th is next WASDE. We'll have a lot of weather. We'll have a lot of concern about yield. Still debate about acres. Looks like December corn, mean, it has really been quite a ride here. I'm going to bring up a chart of December corn real quick. Bear with me. So we finished today at 441. You know, Sunday night, we're about 464. Got within less than 10 cents of the old highs of 443. And then from Sunday night till the close on Tuesday, we went from, you know, we basically were down nearly 30 cents from high to low. Not quite. And eventually finished out 441. I've been saying this for a while. I just think we're range bound. I think the 430s are going to be very supportive for corn. If we should get, you know, a thin market, some bear news lining right up, you know, a couple of bear news items lining right up next to each other, maybe we get into the 420s for a little while. But between now and the WASDE, it's really hard for me to see corn going really much below. Hard to see us going before 20, below 420, and hard to see us live below 430 for any extended period of time. I think the 440s and the 450s is kind of where corn lives until either, if the weather just turns perfect, I guess that puts enough pressure to come down, but I don't think so, where yields and planted acres are going to be. And to go through 470, we really got to start talking about, you know, a lot less acres, which I think we'll eventually see, and yields below 160, and we got to start talking about a 12 billion production or lower, or, you know, around 12 billion, which is possible, but I don't think the market's going to trade above 470 in December until we see that. Also, when I'm looking at the future spreads here, like Dece versus Dece, that's been having some trouble. We're now only about, we've been living between 20 and 30, 20 and 40 higher. Dece 20 over Dece 21, it's been pretty steady at around even. Meanwhile, just, you know, that's going to, you know, the full carry on Dece 20 versus Dece 21 will eventually be, if we get a full carry market or close to it, will be anywhere between, you know, 80 or 90 cents most likely, with the storage charges increasing next year. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you should probably talk about that with me sometimes. That's going to provide a lot of opportunities when we get more in a normal supply and demand market. I take a look at SEP versus Dece corn. You know, I want to say, let me get my other chart up here. I was taking a look, like September corn, we're going to have a large carry out, right? So SEP versus Dece corn is at about 6 cents carry. SEP versus March is like 13 cent carry. You know, keep in mind, from December 19 on, storage costs can go from 5 cents to 8 cents. Doesn't mean they have to be there, but they can go there. So the potential full carry gets a lot bigger. And, you know, when we look at the old crop stocks, we're going to have plenty of old crop. Or the USDA says so. I know these bases, especially in the eastern part of the country, says it's, you can tell the base is so strong, they have shortages out there, but there's a lot of corn throughout the country where we don't have that issue. And I think when you sum it all up, that's how you get a carryout or projected carryout for old crop of about 2.5 billion or 2.4 billion. And we're already starting to see corn move from west to east to help ease that. Argentina is 50 under U.S. corn right now into the fall. So the USDA is going to, on the August WASDE, I'm just talking old crop here, it's going to probably lower exports again. And I would not be surprised to see eventually the old crop corn ending stocks be somewhere between 2.4 and 2.5 billion, which is definitely relevant for what we're going to be talking about. New crop is, because it's just more new crop, just it's going to be more beginning stocks for new crop. And so if we do have a 12 billion production, right, let's say we do have 12 billion production, but we're going to be able to add 2.5 billion of that, of old crop stocks, to about, so we'll have a total supply next year of 14.5 billion. You know, right now, a normal use, just to give you an idea, a normal use number for corn is about 14.3 billion. So, you know, we'll probably, so we will need some price rationing, right? We will need some price rationing to get over from year to year, which is what's going on with new crop now, which is why we're at 440. But here's what's interesting too. And I started looking at a couple things. What if Old Crop is about 2.4, 2.5 billion? Then I said to myself, what if we're at about 86 million acres, right, planted this year? Yields are 155, all right? That's pretty bullish. All right, that is, you know, 86 million acres planted. We're only harvesting about 79 million. We got a 155 yield. You know, we've got to do some serious price rationing just to get to a billion bushels, which is, I think, what the market's going to force us into. All of a sudden, feed is coming down to 5 billion even. You know, we've basically cut, you know, price rationing 175 million bushels there. Ethanol stays the same, but exports got to go to 1.9 billion, which I think, unfortunately, isn't that hard to get to, considering that the USDA has 2.15 billion, and to lose another 250 million in exports can happen between South American corn and European and Ukraine corn. But it's, what's nice about it is supportive of corn, you know, in the fours throughout most a new crop, you know, moving here. So, I mean, I'm sure, you know, I think corn can get to 470 again. If we're going to go above 470 to 5, we really got to confirm this like 85, 86 million acre and sub 160 yield. If we do, we do have a chance to get up there. But as we get into harvest, there will be price pressure. I wouldn't be surprised if we went back towards the low fours again, you know, in the winter or spring. What's interesting about next year, so let's say we do finish the year, let's say we finish the year DEESs in the mid fours and ending stocks is around a billion. I really think we're going to have over 95 million acres of corn next year. And let's just say, for example, we have 97 million acres of corn and 83 million acres of soybeans. I kind of like to think there's 200 million acres there, like, if, you know, or thereabouts. But, you know, if we're going to have, or not 200 million acres, I really think we're going to have 180 million acres. Like, if we have 90 million acres corn, we're going to have 90 million acres soybeans. If we have 100 million acres corn, we'll have 80 million acres soybeans. That's kind of, that's not an exact number, but I think that's kind of a good way to think about it. It makes the math easy. So I can see us at 97 million acres corn, 83 million acres soybeans, kind of, you know, back in the napkin type math, but that's how I see it right now. You're at 97 million acres corn and a 176 trend line yield. With a 1 billion carry-in, and I'm talking about the 2020-21 crop now, we're at, with some pretty robust demand numbers, we're at 2.3 billion again. So, just to put some context about what's going on now, and, you know, so for now in the next 4 to 6 weeks, I think you got to take a bullish stance on corn. I think for in the fall and the winter, there'll be opportunities in the corn market, whether, you know, depending on what's going on with South America and planting. And I think next summer, there's going to be marketing opportunities for the 2020-21 crop, even if we do have 97 million acres, just because we're going to be tight coming in, right? And then if we have any weather issues, that'll help too. But I think to this time next year, let's assume the crop is pretty much made. If we have a normal growing year, we're going to be staring at a 2020-21 ending stocks over 2 billion. I think that would be, if you're playing the odds and the percentages, that's probably what we're looking at now. So, you know, make hay while the sun shines. We will be, you know, I'm going to use these next couple of weeks here to basically get into, you know, anything we want to do in old crop and new crop to the long side we can. But as soon as we have an idea of where acres and yields are, or pretty confident in it, I think we got to start thinking about the next 12 to 18 months also with the hedge side too. So I'll try to get some of these, I'm still working on my tables, but that's where they are. I'll start to get some of these out. On the soybean number, you know, old crop, old crop soybeans are at a billion, right? And then if you factor in 80 million acres and a 45 yield, which is aggressive, I understand. But even being that aggressive, we're at only at a 500, 550 million carry out. So that's the best case scenario, I think, in soybeans for old crop, which is okay. I mean, 550 million carryout is so much better than a billion. And I could be wrong. Maybe the crop is really, maybe we're under 80 million acres and we're under 45 yield. I don't think we are, but we could be. But then we look on to next year, 2021, and let's say we do have somewhere between 95 and 100 million acres corn, where I really think we will. That would mean that we're probably somewhere between 80 and 85 million acres planted soybeans. I think if we're 97 million corn, let's say we're 83 million beans. 50 trend line yield. At a 83 million acres and a 50 trend line yield, we produce about 4.1 billion. We use about 4.1 billion. So what I always like to do is like, okay, well, one, what's old crop stocks going to be? And then what do we have to do next year to produce what we use? Kind of like as a zero line. So regardless if we finish this year with 800, 700, 600, 500 million acres, also start to think about next year for 2020-21, you know, and we're at the Ag Forum in February, which I realize is 7 months from now. And if we're talking 83 million acres and a trend line yield, we're using as much as we produce, and ending stocks don't change year over year. So, and I haven't really brought down exports as much as I'm at 1.9 billion on the exports, which, you know, if we didn't have a China trade war going on, it'd be closer to 2.1 billion. The crush is the crush, but the exports will get hurt on that. And not because of the trade war, but also because of the widespread issues with the swine flu. So that kind of tells me, too, if we do get runs, if we should get rallies in soybeans close to 10 bucks, should probably start looking at 2020-21, too. I'm not saying a lot, but I'm saying a little bit. So on that's where I'm thinking on the hedge side. And also some of the carries in this market. I wanted to talk about spreads here for farmers, too. Farmers can use spreads. You know, September 2020 versus December 2020 corn is at a 5 or 6 cent carry. I would not be surprised if that's closer to a 15 to 20 cent carry next year once the crop is made. It's a long time to be in that spread, but just, you know, I wouldn't get with it now. What is interesting is 20 versus 21 corn is about even, and that could be a 70, 80, 90 cent carry. Again, if we get the 97 acres, the trend line yield are higher. That could happen by harvest, you know, by September of 2020. So those are interesting things I think farmer can look at. On the spec side, in the near term, I think you kind of got to buy support here on the corn market. And I think on the hedging side, I think you got to use some of these rallies. If we get close to new highs, or, you know, if we're in the high fours or close to those new highs, they probably deserve to be a marketing opportunity at some, you know, either for whatever you have left or start thinking about next year. Because price rationing will only work so much right now. I mean, we're able to move prices higher. We have enough corn around the world in the United States, and enough wheat will become feed to kind of cap the rallies a little bit here. So that's where we are with the grains. I think in more of the long-term trades, I do like the bear spreads. It's funny, in the short term, I want to be bullish, and in the longer term, I want to sell deferreds or look at the bear spreads in the deferreds. So I do think the carry will eventually widen out once this crop is known. So that's something I'm looking into. Same thing on the soybeans. I was looking at a soybean spread here. You know, Nov is Nov 19 versus Nov 20 is, you know, 39 under. But I think like Nov 20 versus Nov 21, maybe at a carry. And I don't know, that for if I'm a soybean farmer, maybe that's my hedge. You know, selling the 20 and buying the 21 and using the carry as the hedge. I think that would be very interesting for a soybean farmer right now, where you don't have to really commit to selling, being totally exposed on next year. And for any of the big position traders out there on the spec side, it's an interesting trade, too. Wheat will probably follow corn. In terms of cattle, I still like our cattle spread. I still like the cattle market. I think we're going to see some support here. You can start to see, you know, the cash markets bottoming. You can make the case for better demand coming in the fall. What's the hogs have even been rallying here. The weights have been lower than expected. So, and grain prices are high. You're probably going to, and with the African swine flu and the protein demand, I can make a case for livestock being a good value around here. As for the other markets, we're going to stay away from energy for a little while. Let some things stutter out in the Middle East. And I think that is it. There is going to be a time where we're going to like selling straddles again. We're not there yet, but we could be in the fall. So going forward this week, oh, and of course the weather. As far as the grain markets go, weather is going to be hot and dry. We're going to talk. You got to feed the bull every day in a weather market. The forecast did get a little bit wetter, but there's still a lot of damage out there. It's going to be, and like I said, between now and August 12th, which is the next WASDA report, there's going to be a lot of speculation about how big this crop is or isn't, how much demand we can, you know, we'll have, and how much needs to be rationed. So I think it's smart to play the ranges. That's what we're going to do. And I think for the farmers out there, there's going to be opportunities out there. So if you have any questions, you want to know how we're going about this, please feel free. Give me a call anytime. All my contact information is in the show notes. And yeah, good luck out there, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, thanks very much.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.